It's Arizona's afternoon news with Mac and Gatos. KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
Oh, it's great to have Mac and Gatos on the program.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, glad you agree. Remember, coming up at 4:05, the big four at four. First 20 minutes of the 4 o'clock hour, we bring you four big blockbuster stories. So, talk about a blockbuster story. You know, we were off the air yesterday at 6, and I start, I'm listening to Chad Benson on my way home, and I hear, you know, Ashley Flood, our news anchor, talk about there's a fire at a Safeway store. And, you know, in all honesty, I mean, I really didn't think much about it. There weren't a lot of details. I obviously didn't know what was going on. I didn't see what was going on. By the time I got home, my wife was watching TV and saying, "Are you seeing this?"
Yeah, the video is amazing.
It's incredible. I haven't seen a massive inferno like this in quite a long time.
It engulfed the entire store. The store is basically gone.
Yeah. It destroyed a Phoenix Safeway grocery store. Now, yesterday when we were just kind of talking about the weather, there was some lightning, there was some thunder, and there was some rain and dust and all that kind of stuff that happens with the monsoon.
And usually we warn you about, you know, the dust and the rain, and there was a lot of rain, a lot more rain, but this has to do with the monsoon storm from yesterday, but it's not exactly what you think.
Well, I mean, I think we know kind of what happened here. You know, I was wondering if lightning struck the building.
I thought
that's the first thing I thought.
Right.
But it was a 3-alarm fire. It broke out at the store near 35th Avenue in Northern just before 6 o'clock. And when I got home around 7, I'm watching this thing, and you can't take your eyes off of it.
Right.
Because I think what happened was there was a microburst, and so much rain got on the roof of the building that part of the store had a leak, right? Some of the roof caved in on like one of the back areas, and it may have put into, you know, motion a gas line breaking, and then the hitting some of the electricity, and then boom.
That's a recipe for disaster. You've got water on electricity with a gas line.
Right.
That's going to cause some damage. But if you've seen the video, and the video is everywhere, you can go to ktar.com. The video of that roof collapsing.
Yeah.
Just unbelievable that a whole Safeway store is just gone.
And I mean, these stores are enormous. We've all been in them. We mm-hmm. know how big these shopping places are. I mean, the thick smoke that spread across the valley. I mean, there was a plume of smoke that was visible for miles away.
Oh, yeah.
So it looked like a bomb went off.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it really did.
And think about all the fire people having to go in and clear that place out. I mean, it's amazing no one was killed or injured.
I was watching
and trying to get everybody out.
And I told my wife, I go, there's no way there are not going to be any fatalities. How did you get
right.
How did everybody get out of that building? Because, you know, we didn't really know what was going on. I mean, the whole roof was gone. And there was just massive fire everywhere. I mean, when I say that the fire department was out, I think all of them were there.
I think 3-alarm fire.
Like everybody who was working in the fire department across the valley
mm-hmm.
at all these different stations were there. That's how big this thing was. And I got to tell you, when I was watching this, I thought back to 2001. And there was an evening in 2001, and I was here at the radio station. I've been here almost 20 years. So in 2001, we're here on the, you know, I'm on the afternoon. And we get word that there is another Safeway store that was going up in flames.
Coincidentally, they said 6 miles south of where this one burned.
And I remember that store going up in flames. And I think what a lot of people, if we've been here a while, we remember that it killed a Phoenix firefighter, Brett Tarver. And I'll tell you what I remember about that day, because it scalded into my mind. We were doing live coverage of this fire in 2001. And we had a reporter down there who's not here anymore, and I can't remember his name. It was a long time ago. We had a reporter down there that was telling us what was going on. So we're back here at the station. We had a reporter telling us what was going on. And all of a sudden, you could almost hear our reporter lose his breath. And he said, I hate to tell you what I'm going to have to tell you right now, but they're bringing a firefighter out on a gurney, and someone has just jumped on top of him to give him CPR. And that day, our reporter was doing play-by-play.
Oh, wow.
Basically, of a firefighter, and it was Brett Tarver fighting for his life and getting CPR and not making it. And, you know, this was a huge story back in 2001, and it was very sad. And I just remember being on the air that day, and it was just, it was surreal, because usually you will get word, I have bad news to tell you, a firefighter has lost his life or her life in this fire. What you usually don't get is the play-by-play of the
trying
firefighter
to save his life.
Dying.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget it. March 14th, it was a Wednesday, 2001. The initial call was about a debris fire behind a hardware store at 35th Avenue and McDowell Road. And the firefighters cleared, nearby businesses, but, you know, it spread. And this is kind of what happened. I don't remember all the details of what happened, but he didn't make it. And it was a huge funeral, an enormous funeral. I mean, they shut the city down.
And didn't you say, too, that they changed the way they built?
I think they changed the way that
either
they, yeah.
shopping centers or something like that?
I think they did. I think they had to look into how shopping centers are built. I think they also started having firefighters go into these large buildings and actually memorize how to get in and out. Because
like a Walmart or a Target or a shop. Or
yeah.
A,
so I would guess if you know somebody who's a firefighter and there's a huge Walmart, and let's say it's in Glendale and you got the Glendale Fire Department, I bet you they know where all the exits are.
Mm-hmm.
I bet you they've walked through all these buildings and they have it in their mind. By the time they get there, they know where the exits are because they've walked through it. They've studied it. And I think that helped the fire department around the valley yesterday get out of this burning building. But Brett Tarver, let's not forget his name. That was such a sad story. One of the saddest moments I've had on the air when we realized that he wasn't going to make it and he was getting CPR. And it was just, I mean, just the chills and the, you know, you start tearing up and it was just terribly sad.
The good news out of this though is that nobody was even injured.
No.
And from what we understand, they thought that about 30 customers were inside the building at the time. And within minutes, the emergency announcement was made over the intercom, and employees got everyone out safely.
Amazing.
Good job for them. Great job for those employees and great job for the customers that, you know, A, believed them, B, didn't screw around and got out of there. Mm. But imagine a building's on fire and you got to get out. I mean, imagine you're or a house or something that you've got to escape.
Yeah. Did you ever escape a fire? I haven't. I've never been in one.
I've gotten animals out of a burning barn, but I've never had to get out of a burning building, if that makes sense.
And I'm hearing about this today after 10 years. I haven't heard that story.
Oh, really?
No.
Okay.
Maybe you got if you're listening, maybe you had to escape a fire. Call us. 602-277-5827. Did you ever have to escape a fire? Tell us your story. Fire Captain Rob McCade.
Season captain on it said when he turned around, it was like a haboob. The flame and the smoke, they could hear it rushing through the store. They ran out, jumped out of the store, hit the deck. Smoke and fire came above them.
So, I mean, it's perfectly fine to say this. If the haboob, or, you know, dust storm.
Right.
If the dust storm, if the monsoon didn't hit yesterday.
And that microburst.
Well,
you know.
Everything's fine.
Oh, yeah.
Everything's
absolutely
fine. It just shows you the disaster that a monsoon can have.
Yeah.
And I can't believe that nobody was killed. Amazing. A great job by all the firefighters and everybody inside that store. But if you ever had to escape a fire, tell us your story. 277-5827. 602-277-KTAR. We'll take a few of these calls in a minute.
Arizona's Afternoon News with Mac and Gatos. KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
A massive three-alarm fire destroyed a North Phoenix Safeway yesterday, 35th Avenue and Northern.
Just about after 6 last night.
I mean, this thing went up in flames. Some of the witnesses.
I mean, there's nothing short of an inferno.
But you could see it just carry through the whole store as it caught flame and engulfed the whole building. It's crazy.
There were so many firefighters there that I noticed that they were at the corner of the building, each corner of the building.
Yeah.
And just spraying as much water as you possibly could.
Yeah, the fire officials say they believe that the partial roof collapse near the back of the store that damaged a gas line and main electrical box caused the fire.
That caused it, right.
And then the store has a flat roof, and because of the amount of rain before the fire, the roof collapsed under the weight of the water.
I wonder if there was water there from Monday.
Maybe.
That storm on Monday.
Yeah, so we've
But if it was a microburst.
Well,
we rip apart places.
So we've asked you to call us if you've ever had to escape from a fire, whether it be an apartment complex, a dorm, a barn, a school, you know, whatever. 602-277-5827, 277-5827. Daniel, you're in Florence. Where did you escape from a fire?
Actually, me and my wife, we ran into a burning house to help a lady and her three children. She was a single mom. We were sitting on the front porch, and then it was about 9 o'clock at night in September, about 4 years ago, 35th Avenue in Cactus. We were sitting on the front porch. This little girl comes running out saying, "Daniel, my house is on fire." So in an instant, me and my wife jumped up. We ran straight for our house and ran straight in because we knew there was other children in there, and the mom was in there. So as soon as we run in, you could see the ceiling was just engulfed in flames. I told my wife, I said, "Grab the baby off the couch and get out." And the other little boy come running from the room. My wife grabbed him, and I ran in the kitchen, and the kitchen was just covered in smoke. Mm. The only thing I knew to do was just hit my knees and look for the mom. And we took her out of the room because she was in the back room. She already pulled the water hose through the back door trying to fight the fire.
Oh.
But the house was just, it was gone. But it was an older home, so it went up like a match, man. But we were able to get everybody out. Not even thinking about our own children at our home sleeping right next door. We just ran in, and that's the only thing we could do is try to get everybody out.
Yeah. Good for you, man.
Hero. Yeah,
that's amazing.
I'm glad to hear nobody was hurt or killed, but every firefighter will tell you never, never run in by yourself to a burning building. I mean, you could be overcome. You could, it could just turn tragic really quick. But I'm glad you got everybody out.
Well, you think about it. He was a neighbor. If he didn't do it, may have been too late.
Exactly.
You just never know. But you know, it's not the fire that necessarily could kill you. I mean, you get burned, no question.
Absolutely.
Smoke inhalation could kill you too.
All right, David, you're in Glendale. What a fire did you escape from?
Actually, I was on an ammunition ship, like a Navy, and we had an engineering space fire. And first, I mean, everybody, we had like 120 people fighting the fire, and the rest was sitting there trying to get as far away from it as possible, like on the fantail and the forecastle. Because if we'd have gone out, we'd have blown a 30-mile hole in the ocean floor. It was not the kind of ship you want to be on.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's nothing scarier than being on a ship and there's a fire on the ship. I mean, that's a death trap right there.
Yeah, but, I mean, you think, oh, what do? Do I just jump in the water?
Right, right.
Well, not really. That's not what I want to do.
Mayday, and then jump, or
there's really nowhere to run.
Exactly.
You'll have to swim, and my goodness. We're taking your calls at 277-KTAR. Massive inferno destroyed a Safeway yesterday. Did you ever have to escape a fire?
All right, Roberta, you're in Casa Grande. What fire did you escape?
Hi, Mac and Gatos. I used to live in the state of North Carolina, and I used to work for this large university, and I was a hall director in the dormitory, and one of the ladies left a candle burning to go implement and caught her mattress on fire, and she set the whole fourth floor on fire. The whole building caught on fire, and I had 764 women out of the building in less than 3 hours because the school had never had a mass fire like the one we had, so it was just total chaos, but everybody got out okay.
Oh, and were you injured at all, or?
No, I wasn't injured, but I was on the elevator because the ladies used to play pranks with the fire alarm. So I got on the elevator thinking it was another prank.
Oh no!
So when I saw smoke coming up from the shaft, I got off the elevator. And I was trying to find the fire, and when I saw the smoke, I opened up one of the doors, the fourth floor, and then I jumped back. I didn't get on the elevator. I just ran down the steps as fast as I could and tried to get everybody out if I could.
No, they always say don't take the elevator, take the stairs, right?
It's electrical. It could stop, and then you're trapped. Heather, you're in Goodyear. Heather, what fire did you survive?
Hi. Nice to talk to you. Hello, Phoenix. I was 7 months pregnant. I lived in California, and I lived in a two-story apartment complex with all underground parking, and there was only two exits for people to get out of. So we were rushing to get out. Later, we found out that it was actually a gang initiation. There were multiple apartment complexes through the San Fernando Valley that were set on fire for a gang initiation. But all I could do at that point in time was to dial 911, left the front door open, and it was the old landlines that we used to have, and just let it ring, just let it, so at least they would have an idea of where to go and they could hear the fire alarm. But it was, we were rushed out and had to run down the street, and we weren't able to get back in for about, I don't know, 24 or 48 hours.
And you were pregnant, my goodness.
7 months pregnant, yeah.
You know, this is probably a good time after something like this to check your smoke detectors in the house. It really is.
Oh, I mean,
you know, what are you supposed to do it every six months or so? You're supposed to do it at the end of the year and
New Year's? When we spring ahead and fall back, but we don't do that here in Arizona. That's when they usually remind people.
I think it's probably a good idea to maybe check your smoke detectors. When a story like this happens, I know that a smoke detector in a Safeway store might not have saved everybody, but it will in your house.
Yeah.
Thanks, everybody, for the calls, and thank God nobody died at Safeway, and a great job again by the firefighters. All right. Coming up next, Becky Lynn's got some news. We'll get you some traffic. And then we've got an Arizona legislator. He's bragging to a cop about doing 120. And we'll tell you why he didn't get a ticket next.
Arizona's Afternoon News with Mac and Gatos. KTAR News, 92.3 FM. Arizona's Afternoon News with Mac and Gatos. KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
Coming up, the Big Four at 4. We take the first 20 minutes of the 4 o'clock hour, and we bring you four big blockbuster stories. By the way, earlier today, we spoke to the granddaughter of a 75-year-old disabled Mesa woman who's in the hospital. She's recovering after a tree fell into their house, and the house has been completely destroyed. There is a massive tree sitting on top of their house. The roof is gone. The 75-year-old was actually stabbed in the leg by one of the branches of the tree. These monsoon storms are brutal. We talked to the granddaughter. We put on our Facebook fan page and also on Twitter a way, if you'd like to give, that you can go and do that with the GoFundMe. Not many times on the show do we talk about GoFundMe pages, but this is different. I think you've got a 75-year-old former teacher, a disabled woman, and they don't have the money, and that house is gone.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, we don't think we don't want them to be homeless. Go check it out. And if you feel like you need to give, that'd be a cool thing to do.
It would. Our Facebook fan page. There is an elected state house representative for Arizona's 5th district, which is, I think, Havasu, Lake Havasu area over there in the state.
I don't know.
He was pulled over by the cops. La Paz County deputy pulled him over north of Parker, Arizona, allegedly doing 97 miles per hour. Okay. Is the guy repentant at all? Is he sorry? No. This state legislator, this elected political hero, actually starts bragging about how fast. You think 97's fast? You should see what I did on the 40. This guy actually, and it's on video, this guy actually talks about going 120 to maybe 140 miles per hour.
Cop can't give him a ticket because of legislative immunity. If you are...
Oh, by the way, 97 in a 55-mile-an-hour zone, 40 miles over the speed limit.
Yeah, and he can't get a ticket.
Can't get a ticket.
I think this is the dumbest thing in the world. I've heard of stories like this, and people who are in the legislative
immunity.
They speed because they know they can't get a ticket. They have legislative immunity. It's something that's written in the whatever, and they can just go as fast as they want, and they don't care when they get pulled over. And they say, well, you know, you can't give me a ticket. I can go 140 if I want to. And it just shows you that these lawmakers, they think they're above the law. They really do. And they look down upon us. That's why I don't like any politicians. I don't like any Republicans or Democrats. I don't like politicians. I don't like these lawmakers.
But especially when they flaunt something that actually has a meaning, that basically, according to the Arizona state law, this is designed to protect lawmakers from targeted attempts to keep them from voting on essential state matters. Okay, but that doesn't mean you have to brag about the fact that, hey, I'm going 150.
Yeah. So I don't know who the guy is. I've never heard of him before. But he's a House representative, Paul Mosley. I don't know if he's Republican, and I don't know if he's Democrat. I didn't look it up because I don't care. What I do care about is some guy going 120 miles per hour because he can do it. So here's a little bit of the back and forth between Mosley, you know, and the cop.
You were driving 130 earlier, you said?
Yeah, I go 130, 140, 120. Yeah, I come down.
And you're going to kill somebody, you idiot. You're going to kill someone.
I love this. In part of it that's inaudible, he says something to the effect of, well, I only do it when it's safe. What? How is going almost double the speed limit ever safe?
Thank you. Please watch your speed regardless of trying to get home. 97 is absolutely not an
And good for the cop for saying that. Like, hey, remember, you're going 97. Like, I'm glad the cop pointed out, like, yeah, I know that you have diplomatic or state immunity, but you're still going way faster than the speed limit.
The police officer was trying to get through to Representative Mosley, and it didn't work.
Right.
So the cop said, okay, I'm done. There's nothing I can do here.
Right.
I tried to get through to you, and you obviously don't care. Paul Mosley's going to kill somebody.
And if he were to,
yeah,
what would happen?
Great point.
That's a great point. I don't know. I don't know whether you'd have to vehicular manslaughter.
If it wasn't against the law for him to go that fast, I don't know.
But it is against the law to kill somebody in a car.
That's true. That's true.
The Fraternal Order of Police have pulled their endorsement of this guy.
Good.
Good for them. Because of this, and I don't know whether this could actually happen or not, maybe another elected political hero will try to take this law off the books. Because it's just so arrogant. It just makes you scratch your head and go, I know there's perks in every job. I know there's perks in every walk of life. Why would you brag about it? Why would you flaunt the fact that you're going 140 miles an hour? It's ridiculous.
140 miles an hour. And he doesn't care. It's amazing.
I know.
Just to think that he thinks he's so much better than everybody else.
He's so much better, but the fact that he takes advantage of it in that way.
Paul Mosley. Mm-hmm. Let's remember that name. Paul Mosley. Boy, we have got a lot. We've got a lot of wackos in the state house,
yeah,
don't we?
Let's just say interesting personalities
They're
make up the legislature.
They're crazy. They're crazy. Coming up next. We know what it means to ghost someone in a relationship.
Yeah.
But now people are ghosting potential employers. We'll tell you why this is happening next.
Arizona's Afternoon News with Mac and Gatos. KTAR News, 92.3 FM. It's Arizona's Afternoon News with Mac and Gatos. KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
So if you've ever heard the term ghosting, it basically means someone who doesn't talk to you anymore, either on social media or by text, that you have some kind of interaction with somebody, and then for some reason that you don't know, they just disappear.
They're ignoring you. They're ghosting you. Yeah.
Right. This is now spilled over into the job market, where more and more people who are trying to hire good people, employees, are finding that people just don't show up for an interview, or they don't show up for their first day of work after they have accepted the job.
All right. Hold on. So you're telling me that someone out there gets a job interview. I'll be there at 9 a.m.
Yeah.
They ghost the company. They don't show up. Why would they do that?
They disappear without any explanation.
They don't show up for the interview.
No, they do not.
All right, if they get hired, let's say this is another person. Let's say the company says, okay, you know, we've talked to you on the phone. We like you, blah, blah, blah. You're good. Let's hire you. And they don't show up for the first day, and they're gone. They've ghosted the employer.
And it's driving companies nuts.
I don't understand.
I don't either. So if you've ever done this, if you had a job lined up and you didn't show up for your first day, and you ghosted the company, tell us why. 602-277-5827, 277-5827. I would think it's just a matter of common courtesy that you just say, I'm not coming in, or I've changed my mind or something, but I don't understand this. I'm just never going to talk to that person again after they've invested some time.
Isn't it just rude?
Yes. I'm glad you said the word. It's just, and it's also just rude. It's, you know, common courtesy. Hey, I've taken another job, or I'm sorry, but I'm not coming in for the interview. I'm going in a, whatever it is. But more and more companies are experiencing what they are calling ghosting of people out of the job market or out of their company, I guess.
So this guy, Dan Roth, is talking about it. He's a LinkedIn editor. He says it's not just millennials.
You would think it would just be millennials, people who are used on dating sites. You know, they just stop talking to people.
People who ghost over text, et cetera.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But it's the truth is it's everyone. It's easier just to stop showing up than to say no or to say thank you for reaching out to me about this job. I don't actually want it anymore.
That is so not stand up.
I know. And he's right. It is easy to do the wrong thing, but I would think this could come back to haunt you. I mean, I would think that this, you would not want this happen to you. Why would you do it to somebody else?
What if it's this? What if it's like retribution? What if you got a job seeker out there all the times that potential employers ghosted them? Because usually it's the other way around.
You never hear from the company.
You're a potential employee.
Yeah, you're applying
for a job.
You're
making the calls. You're on LinkedIn. You're emailing. You're doing all this stuff. And no one gets back to you. And all these times nobody gets back to you, you're like, okay, maybe I won't get back to them. And it's like a power trip.
But that guy Roth that you just Dan Roth said recruiters and hirers are saying they will never forget the people who have ghosted them. So it's
yes, they will. Don't you think?
I mean, don't you think? I have no idea.
You think you're gonna keep a file on them?
If you work in the same industry, I guess long enough, you may bump into that person down the road. I don't know. I mean, again, it's like the golden rule: treat people the way you want to be treated. If you ghost somebody, it could come back to haunt you down the road. I don't get it.
Does it have something to do with the job market being so hot?
Unemployment very low. More and more people have the applicants have the power now because people, they can choose from whatever they want. They have more choices and they are, I guess they are, they feel empowered to, I don't need you. I can just do whatever I want.
This job market is so hot right now. Unemployment is at 18-year low. You've got more job openings than candidates, which is the first time the Labor Department has seen this. And people, it's a buyer's market right now. If you are a candidate, there are more job openings coming to you. You can choose where you want to go, and it's easier to just not show up when someone tells you you don't feel like going to a job interview. Just don't go.
Is it really easier to not just show up? How hard is it to make a phone call and say, listen, I'm not coming into work. Thank you for the opportunity. Or an email. How hard is that?
I know.
It takes about 5 seconds.
I know, but people will justify it by whatever they use to justify it and just say, it's easier if I just don't make the phone call and I put it out of my mind.
Jeez.
I know.
Because I always heard ghosting, you know, was mostly on text. That's what I always thought it was. Or, you know,
dating sites.
Yeah.
You talk to somebody, you get to know somebody, and then they just don't answer.
And then you text them, and you text them again. You're like, what the heck
right.
is going on? I'm getting ghosted.
Right.
But now it's happening in the workplace.
Yeah, and companies are getting ticked, especially you agree to the job, you agree to terms, you don't show up the first day.
All ages. Jeez. Don't blame millennials. It's all ages.
All right, coming up, we've got the Big Four at four. Four big blockbuster stories, including Donald Trump has called himself a stable genius. Who'd he say that to? That's coming up next.